Man, I am so grateful for this church because everything that everybody was saying is a part of my message. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, everything that you were saying, I was like, y'all better stop. Like, no, seriously, I'm not even joking. Like, I was like, man, like, why are they keep on saying the things that I wanted to talk about? I was like, who told them? It's like, who told you? So I'm so grateful. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We're still in worship. It doesn't change. Our worship doesn't change because of what's going on, because of a sound, because people are on stage or position, Lord. We worship you. We praise you, God. And I thank you for the word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've knit it together beautifully through what everybody said today, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, man, God is so good. Good morning, everybody. My name is Paul. I'm on the worship team, and sometimes I speak. man, God is so good. I'm still, like, in shock and awe, because I'm going to, like, everything that everybody said, I'm probably going to talk about, try and bring up what they said. A few weeks ago, Dan talked about your identity, putting on your new man, who you are in Christ, and your mindset, what mindset to put on as well. And last week, Kirk talked about the journey of us arriving to where God wants us to be through prayer and petition with supplications. And in the beginning of his message, there was something that he spoke about. It was called arrival theology. And I didn't know what that term meant, but when he said it, I understood everything that he was saying. And I hate that term so much. Because what it said, it pulls you out of where you're supposed to be with God now. Arrival theology, it says, oh man, my situation is way bigger than God. Really, you're putting your situation above what God wants to do now. So you're being pulled out from your identity and who you're created to be because you put, oh, I'm not a preacher yet, so I can't do this. If I was only this person, if I had Dan's gifting or Pastor Lena's preaching, if I was Pastor Easy or maybe Alan, maybe I could get this done. But that's far from the fact. God has made us all to be sons and daughters. And that's where you need to perform from. That's the mindset we put on. And it goes on and on. And we don't serve a future God. We serve a present God. But when you complain, arrival theology creates complaining in your heart. That breeds things. It brings forth fruit of complaining, of anger, of hate, of malice. When your mindset is not set on the things which God said to do, you're pulled away from your identity and your calling and your purpose. I'm going to be reading from John 15, verses 4 through 8. It's awesome. Okay. And it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me, or abides in the vine, sorry. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Our whole point as a branch is to grow and bear fruit. And it says so in verses 4 and 8. Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. This directly refers to our purpose and our callings. Your purpose and your calling is to grow in the Lord and to bear fruit unto him. It's your why. Your purpose is your why and your calling is your how. Why you were created and how you were called to do it. In Ephesians 1:11, it says, we were predestined according to his purpose, who works all things together. That word purpose comes from the Greek word prothesis, and it actually means to set forth or set before. And it's commonly used in the Bible to refer to showbread. And what showbread was, it was bread that was in the tabernacle or the holy place where God's presence dwelt. And it was a sign and a reminder of how God provided for the Israelites in the wilderness. So our purpose is to be set apart before God like the bread. Because we're called to be set before God. Because every time that it's used, It's about showbread. So our lives are to be set apart before him to worship him and bring glory to him and remembrance and testimony of what he did in our lives. And in Ephesians 1:18, it says, the hope of his calling. That word comes from the word klesis, calling or invitation. Our purpose is to worship him, and we were called as sons and daughters of God, to be children of God. That's what I'm rooted in, and that's what I'm founded in. Bibi said earlier that we stand, but how do you stand? What are you supposed to stand in? We stand in our sonship. We stand in our as sons and daughters, children of God, because we have a Father who's greater than any situation that we're in. In Romans 8:15, it says we receive the spirit of adoption. Ephesians 1:5 says we were predestined for adoption. Galatians 4:6 through 7 says God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts and we are no longer slaves. John 1:12 and 1 John 3:1 say we can be children of God. And Romans 8:17 says that we are children and co-heirs with Christ. That is our purpose. Our purpose is to worship him as sons and daughters. That's why we were created. And that has to be our root and where we grow from and where we draw. Because situations aren't easy. So what are you going to hold on to? What mindset are you holding on to when everything is yelling at you? When the world says you need to be this, you need to do that. Oh, you can only do this. You have to hold on that you're a son and a daughter and you were bought with the blood. That's why it's so important. He made us sons and daughters, and Jesus paid for our freedom as sons and daughters with his blood. So nothing can separate you from that. It says, no height, nor depth, nor principality, nor power can separate you from the love of God. From you being a son and a daughter, nothing can change that. It can't be what you're doing. I worship on stage, and I love worshiping, but I'm a child of God first, and that's why I'm able to do that. You could be a worker, you could be a manager, you could own a business, but first, that all has to come from being a son or a daughter. I'm not just a worker, I'm not just a moneymaker for a kingdom. I am a son. I am a son. That has to be everything I am, because those can be taken away. If it could be taken away, it's not from God. If it could be taken away, that's not God's calling for your life. Your job, you could lose a job, you could lose a business. I could lose my ability to sing, but it doesn't change that I'm a son. So when I stand, when I'm standing, I'm planted in being a son, because nothing could shake me from that. You could change everything about me. You could cut off my arm. You could do anything you want, but you can't take away me being a son. That will not change. Man. I used to get caught up in everything too, in situations and doing things. I love playing volleyball and I love working out. And I would play it so much. And there were times where I couldn't play because I would get injured. I would hurt my back, I'd hurt my knee, and I would keep on pushing through. And I would get hurt even more. And it would frustrate me. It would pull me out of my identity. I would not like backslide, but I would go away from who I was called to be. I wasn't a son. I would get angry at God. God, I love doing this. How come I'm not getting healed? Why am I not free from these things? And I would get frustrated and my world would spiral and it would just like take me away from what God was doing now. Those injuries didn't change my identity, but it showed and it revealed my dependence on them. Your situation, if it changed, it changes. It can't take you away from who God is. If you lose your job, if you lose your ability to do something, you love, like you feel like you're created to do, will it change your identity? And does it? No, it shouldn't. But we let it. We let it do that. It has to be as a son or a daughter in everything that you do. And we fulfill Colossians 3:17. It says, do everything as unto the Lord. And you could do everything to him because you're his child. So now when I go into a job, when I go into a sport, an activity, when I'm hanging out with friends, if I was a teacher, if I was a business owner, I'm a son first. I'm a son first because now I don't have to perform. I don't have to pretend, oh, I know everything I'm doing because I'm a son and I have a father who loves me and who cares for me. And I know I keep on saying the word abide, but let me give a small definition of it. It could be replaced with remaining, resting, and trusting. The only way that a real vine, like a vine, can grow is if it remains, it rests, and trusts in something stronger than itself. Vines can't grow on their own. They have to be wrapping around something stronger and greater. And just like a vine, we have to remain, rest, and trust in Jesus the vine, because he's the only strong thing that could carry us. And he brings us closer to the Son that gives life. Really, do you trust God with your purpose and your destiny? And more importantly, can God trust you with what he has for your life? In verse 5, it says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Everything in the world wants to pull you away from that. Really, everything tries to draw you away from abiding and wrapping your heart and yourself around Jesus. And it's like, no, abide on this. But really, whatever you focus on, that's what your God becomes. If all you are is a worker, that's all you're going to be. You're not going to operate as a child of God. And it's going to bear fruit in your life. If you're not abiding in the right thing, that's what you become. A lot of Christians abide in a victim mentality. And that mentality says, oh, my situation is greater than what God can do. Really, when you're a victim, you're laying down and you're like, okay, I can't do anything. The situation's greater than me. That's really worship. Being a victim is worship, because God never called you to be a victim. So now you're agreeing with the wrong thing that the world is saying about you. So now you're sitting down, laying down to worship being a victim, your situation. Oh, I'm going through this at work. They hate me. I'm going to lose my job. I might lose my house. My friends, they abandon me. The world hates me. It doesn't matter, because you're not a victim. Most of the time, really, God allows you to go into that situation, because you're really the solution to that equation. You're always a solution. As a son and a daughter, imagine you're God. Imagine you're God. Man, this situation sucks right here. Everybody's angry and frustrated. Oh, let me put my son there. What did God do in Matthew, in the Gospels? What did he do? He sent his son. Wouldn't he do it again? Isn't that a testimony? Like, do it again. He's doing it again with your heart, with your life. Send my son. Oh, wait, I have the perfect one in that situation, who knows every single person, who's a son to me. I could plant him there because he abides in me. But those situations are not God, and you can't allow it to be a God in your life. Really, in Romans 8, it says you're more than a conqueror. That's what you're called to be as a son. You're a son and a conqueror. So when you're planted in a hard situation, when there's no solution, when everybody's angry, upset, when everything's falling apart, he's like, oh, wait, my son's there. My son's there. The one who prays to me. Pray about the situation. I feel like we don't bring it up to God either. We're planted there and we kind of just take it, boom, boom. And you're not drawing from the root. Vines grow from the ground up. Every plant draws nutrients from the ground, from water, nutrients in the ground. We need to do that with our identity too. God, I'm a son. If you can't remember a single thing, remember you're a son and a daughter. If you can't remember anything, if you forget your identity, who you are, who you're created to be, if you feel like you're messing up, oh wait, God, I'm a son, forgive me, I'm stepping back into my sonship. Everything changes. This whole week has been so tough for me. Like, honestly, my mind was hard putting this together. I felt so distracted. Really, this whole message was for me. Like, and I get to share it with y'all. Everything that's going on, I felt like I was pulled out of my identity. I sat there for 6 hours, and I wrote like 2 pages for my sermon. That's not a lot. But I wrote 2 pages, and I was like, God, what is going on? So I sat there, and I was like, I realized I wasn't abiding as a son. I was trying to perform and write something. Oh man, I want to make everybody feel something. I want to make everybody feel a certain way or understand. No, but I'm a son. I'm here to communicate and to give what my father's planted in my life so that it can be recreated. There's a term Nayeli always says. It says, the grass is greener where you water it. I love that saying. So if you're going to complain, if you're upset, if you're constantly getting angry, you're watering that. It's going to get greener. Why is it so weeded in my heart? Why am I feel so pulled apart? It's because you watered that. You're in that situation because you've watered that thing in your life. Anger, doubt, and complaining, those things are not abiding. Those are not fruits of abiding. So when you water those things, they grow in your heart. And it says in Matthew 7, it says to look at them by their fruit. If all you have is anger, frustration, and complaining, it's a good sign that you're not abiding as a son or a daughter. You're not abiding as a child of God. Dan said it best too. I love what he said. He said, complaining is the language of hell. I just wanted to say that too. So good. And who knows? Sometimes you water things and they grow and they get distracting in your life. And honestly, I forget, even this week, it took 1 week for me to forget that I'm a son. But what if your purpose, your calling outside of being a son, if your ministry calling, what if it doesn't come to pass immediately? What are you going to do then? Really, this morning during worship, I kept on hearing and feeling the word forgotten. Like, not that God's saying that about us, but us to ourselves. God, am I forgotten? Because I was saying that same thing to myself too. God, am I forgotten? I can't even write one sermon. Did you forget about me? Did you forget who I was? Or I forgot who I was, really. It's been prophesied to me that I would minister, that I would go to nations, that I would open a business, that I would be a father, that I would do a lot of things for the kingdom of God, that I would see chains broken off. I was listening to words that John and Alan, Clyde would say, and all those things, they'd say that people will be affected by me being in their life. And I didn't see those things come into fruition yet. I could allow completely yet. I haven't seen it completely yet. Like the mission and the, I saw the, yeah, the gym and all that. In the bigger aspect, but I've ministered to people, but not at the level of some of the words yet. I'm not a father yet. I'm not a business owner yet. I'm not doing missions completely yet. And I could allow depression and anxiety into my heart and cause me to worry about my situation and distract me from what God's trying to do right now. A lot of the times you're brought into a situation this over and over again is because you have an opportunity to change that thing. He's giving you opportunity to change that thing again. You could do it again. Oh man, I'm doing great. Oh man, everything failed. Everything fell through. Well, I could do it again. I could trust in him again. I'm going back to the Father. I could get impatient even. People get impatient because, oh, I might try and help God out and make my purpose calling. Okay, I'm just going to spend all my money, get a loan, and I could buy a place right now, put a coffee machine in there, and I could do that. Let me buy a ticket. Let me fly to Japan. Let me fly to China and do something that God hasn't called me to do. But I'll give you an example of why that's a bad thing. In Genesis 16, Abraham and Sarah were promised to have children. God said, in you, I would make many nations. They wanted to help out God, right? So Sarah says to Abraham, hey, go sleep with my maidservant, Hagar, and have a kid. And we're going to help God kickstart like the process of having many nations. Well, he did, and they had a kid named Ishmael. Ishmael and his mother, Hagar, were later banished from their presence. And it's actually believed in Islam, the religion. It's in the Quran. It says that Ishmael created the holy place of worship in the Middle East, the Mecca. That cube in the middle that they go and circle around, that's what he created there. That's what it said he created. So from their disobedience, they created something that's a part of another religion. It's vital to their religion as well. Even in Jacob, with Jacob and Esau, and in Genesis again, Esau gave up his birthright because he got hungry. He got frustrated. He's like, oh man, I'm going to die. Like, I'll do anything to get out of the situation I'm in right now. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do to get out of that. And he lost his sonship. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Esau, because he gave it up. He sold it. He gave it away. God isn't holding back blessings. What he's doing right now, he's saying, how are you going to steward and how are you going to trust what I've given you right now? Some of us are small sprouts and we're like, okay, are you going to lean on me or are you going to run away when it gets hard? How are you standing in what I've called you to be? Really, how have you stewarded the last thing that God has trusted you to grow? And what is the last thing that God has spoken to you? Are you being trustworthy with it? Are you being a good steward? A few weeks ago, I actually went fishing, and we always pray for fishing. Whenever I go out, God, like, give me the best fish. I want the best fish. And right now, the fish of the season is a speckled trout. It's really hard to catch, and it tastes so good. Like, I call it myself, I call it like American tuna, because it's like so delicate, and it's not super fishy. But, sorry, anyway. Excuse me. Sorry, I forgot. It's a great fish. But I was praying God. I was like, God, I named it too. I was like, God, I want a speckled trout. And actually, he told me to go to a certain place. And I remember it too. I remember going to that place and I cast. And on my first cast, I caught a speckled trout. Yeah. Amen, right? I got so excited. I'm like, oh God, testimony. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. So I put the fish down and I run back fast. But I'm 5 or 10 feet away from where I was standing. I cast and I don't catch a thing. And I hear God say to me, not audibly, but I hear him say in my head, this isn't where I told you to go. And I was like, ooh, it's like, my bad. So literally, I move over 10 feet, and within 30 or 45 minutes, I caught two more. So I caught three. I caught three speckled trout within like, probably within an hour, hour 15. And we were out there for 5 or 6 hours, and I only caught for like 1 hour. But really, I had to go back. And I wasn't completely obedient. I wasn't being trustworthy with what God told me to do. He told me to stand right there, and I was a foot over because I was lazy. I didn't want to go that far. And I was like, okay, God, it's 5 feet. I don't want to walk. It hurts my feet to walk on the jetties because it's a bunch of rocks. So I was like, God, I want to stand here. It's easier. It's easier for me to be here. Have you been obedient with the last thing he told you to do? Completely obedient. If he told you to pray, are you praying every day? Even myself, man, I've been so convicted this week. I was like, man, I'm not praying enough. I'm not doing all these things enough. Not because, oh, like, I need to show myself, but because I know I'm a son of God and I desire a relationship with my Father. That's why I do things. I want to get closer to God. I seek a relationship with him. So that's why I am obedient to him. If you don't abide in his promises, it won't allow you to rest in him. Resting is you saying, God, I trust you and I know that you carry my future. What kind of person would rest when they're about to fight somebody? It's foolish to the world to rest. A lot of people are like, oh, hustle and grind. I'm going to work hard all night. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to work 7 days a week, 24/7. I'll be on call, do these things to make ends meet. But really, you're not trusting God. When you rest, you're saying, God, I trust you with the situation, and I release it from myself. The stress, the weight of the situation, my calling, my purpose. God, it's yours, and I'm resting in you. I don't have to do a single thing to grow taller. I don't have to, in relationship with him. I don't have to struggle anymore to get closer to God because I'm already a son. So now I get to rest. My Father is going to take care of the situation. I'm not forgotten. I'm not forgotten because my God is my Father, and I could go to him in times of need. But I haven't been stewarding his promises he gave to me. I haven't been seeking them out. I haven't been praying for them. I haven't been fasting or praying or seeking the word. I went back this week to listen to my prophetic words because I haven't in years. And I was like, I can't be like a complete like hypocrite on the stage about it. So I listened once. But... That's not obedience. That's not obedience. What I love about this church too is we have all your words recorded. If you get a word, you can ask Dan. He'll send it to you. I asked Dan this week for his email to find all the words because they're important. That's how you renew your heart because it gets hard. Waiting years. There's some words I've got from 2018 and I was 11 years ago and I was listening to it again. I was like, man, why didn't I listen to this like months ago? Why didn't I listen to it last year? Those words will carry you. They'll sustain you. But the root of everything is you're a son and a daughter of God. A bad example of resting, another one, is in 1 Kings 19:3. It's with Elijah. And Elijah, at the time, the leader of the time was Jezebel and her husband Ahab, King Ahab, correct? Yeah. So Jezebel and Ahab, and she threatened, she said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to die. She threatened him. And he literally outrun a chariot. This was after he slaughtered or killed all the prophets of Baal in that situation. And he did all these amazing things. But after a threat, he gave it all up because he didn't trust in God that God would protect him. He didn't trust in God that God would protect him. And he feared for his life. So it was passed on. His mantle was passed on to Elisha because he gave it up. I don't want my purpose and my calling to be given up. I don't want to pass it on. I don't want God to pass me by either. That's why we need to stand as sons and daughters so he could be vigilant and alert. I don't want to miss it. Even in evangelism sometimes, I would say in my heart, I would feel to pray for people. Oh man, that person, I see him with a cane. That person, I see them like they look sad or down. Let me go pray for them. But then I would talk myself out. I would fear, God, what if nothing happens? What if nothing happens when I go out? No one's going to pray. No one's going to follow up on you. The calling is yours and yours alone. Your purpose and your destiny are yours and yours alone. In the Gospels, when that storm came and Jesus is in the boat, he was able to rest. He slept in the boat and they woke him up because he didn't finish his calling and his purpose. The disciples said, they looked at the situation, just like we do sometimes, and they said, we're going to die. This storm is going to kill us. And Jesus was resting because he knew God still had plans. He had a purpose. He didn't die on the cross yet. There was things that Jesus still hadn't done yet. And he had a power and authority over the storm as well. In verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Jesus commanded the storm to leave. Right. Jesus was able to command the storm to leave. Abiding, remaining, resting, and trusting allow you to walk your relationship with God and not be pulled away or distracted in any situation or any storm. That has to be your root.
Yes.
Don't give up on your promises and pass it on to the next person, because
right.
There is no other person. God chose you for right. such a time as this,
yes.
to be sons and daughters, to be here on a Sunday, to be here on a Labor Day, because we don't have to labor anymore as sons and outside of being a son and a daughter.
Yeah, that's true.
We're here to labor as sons and daughters. We don't have to work in our own strength anymore.
Yeah, right.
This week I was listening to it was on Instagram Reels, but there was a video and it was really cool because it talked about the parable of a wedding feast. And it's in the Gospels, and it says, a king sent out a letter to everybody, and he called them all in, and he said, oh, come to this great wedding feast. It's going to be great. But one of the people who arrived wasn't wearing the right attire. He wasn't wearing the right clothes. And the guy brought up the same thought as me. What if he couldn't afford it? What if he didn't have a nice enough outfit? What if I can't do the calling of God because I don't have enough money or resources available? But back then, according to the time, the king would send out the invitation and he would send out clothing as well. So when he sent it out, that man went in his own clothing, his own glory. He tried to go and please God by doing it on his own. He didn't wear the assigned clothing that God had for him. He wasn't being a son. He was being himself. And in yourself, you will fail. Doing things in your own strength, you will fail. We have, God is makes us sons and daughters because we can go to the Father anytime we want.
Yes.
We could ask them anytime we want.
Yes.
There are times I'll talk to my mom and dad and I'll say, Mama, Dad, I need this. And they'll get it for me because I'm a son. I don't have to worry about, are they going to listen to me? Are they going to care about me? They do. And I know they love me because I grew up that way. But some of you haven't experienced the love of the Father.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, He's here. You are not forgotten.
Yes. Right.
Your purpose, your calling are not forgotten. Your situation is not forgotten.
Yes.
It's not too late. And for some of us who have been sons and daughters for long periods of times, who've gotten prophetic words, who haven't seen them come to pass yet, to be walking in full healing and full strength and full power, you haven't seen it come to pass yet.
Wow.
God's not done.
Right.
God's not done.
Right.
God's not done with your life. He's called you to remain in what he's called you to be, a son and a daughter, and you could rest in as a son and a daughter, and you could trust as a son and a daughter. If you could all bow your heads. And if the ministry team could come up. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you've called us to be sons and daughters. Lord, I thank you for every single word that you've spoken today, Lord, that we don't have to labor on our own anymore for our healing. We don't have to do anything more, Lord, to make you love us more. God, I thank you that you've called us to be sons and daughters. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence in our daily lives, that we could go about everything that we do as sons and daughters. We don't have to worry because you're not forgotten. Lord, we thank you for your presence, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.